Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. It's Wednesday and time for some Wednesday Wisdom with Deborah Leanne. And I'm coming down from a very adrenaline-filled lunch meeting that I had the pleasure and opportunity to speak at. And it was around being authentic in a male-dominated industry. It was for a group of women that work in financial and insurance and financial services and banking and all of those different areas. And it was an interesting group of women. Actually, a few men were in there that were part of the sponsor organizations, and which totally shocked me because I wasn't prepared and I thought we were going to be able to dive in deeply about what it is different about being a woman leader and a male leader. And I thought they would be more forthcoming. But I think having some men there, a couple of them being bosses of other women, I felt kind of dampened the energy. Whew. So on top of it, the room was crowded. They had overfilled the space. And there was no microphone. You had to speak on top of the loud restaurant, which was just a curtain away. And in addition, they served the main course right in the middle of my presentation. So I struggled with being authentic within me and knowing that it wasn't about what they thought of me and if they... I kept telling myself this, right, that it's not about me being everything for all of them, to meeting all of their expectations. There's no way I could meet all of those women's expectations, right, 35 women or so in the room and two men. And interestingly enough, I kept finding myself practicing what I know works about being in my body. So one of the things I taught was the oxytocin breath, and it was brilliant because one of the guys actually does yoga, and he's like, oh, yeah, we do this in yoga. And it brought a chuckle to the room when I used the analysis of getting a shot of oxytocin after an orgasm or breastfeeding, and pretty much assuming that neither of those activities had been experienced in the last half an hour with any of the participants. So why am I not breathing into me now? Because I can sense it where I get breathless, and that is not serving you or me. So let me just practice a little bit of coming into my body, and you're welcome to join me, feeling my feet heavy on the ground, feeling my legs like they're tree trunks, solid, supporting me, and allowing the gravity to hold me down, pull me down in a way that feels good, not in a way that's dragging or negative, but in a way that I feel held. That's what I like, yes. A little movement of my hips. My favorite these days is doing little tiny figure eights with my hips. I can do those when I'm sitting in my chair, while I'm working. I can do those while I'm sitting in the car, driving. And it reminds me to just stay in that beautiful power center. Keep my focus there in the present moment. And when I do that, I'm not as called out ahead of me or outside of me to the place of worrying what these people are going to think, if they can hear me, am I doing a good enough job, what do they think about what I'm wearing. They're all, in business suits and blazers, and I was not. And I remember thinking that at one point before I walked in, and it disappeared once I got in there. I felt much more comfortable and in my body, which is an amazing feeling to actually feel more comfortable remembering to drop into this beautiful energetic space. It really, really works. So, the authenticity place. I had the topic was switched on me, and the one person introduced me, saying I was going to speak about confidence from the inside out, which was my original thing I had sent, and they asked me to change that around about being authentic, and so then it was switched, and it was just an interesting, and they apologized like 3 or 4 times, the organizer, the program person, that, you know, we're sorry, it's noisy, we're sorry about the time crunch and the fact that we started late, and can you possibly do your speaking thing within 30 to 35 minutes maximum? And I was really proud of myself. I stayed right in there. And I had a lot of people comment afterwards. Not everyone. Some people couldn't feel the difference of being in their body, and that's okay, because there were people that came up to me afterwards and said, wow, thank you. One person asked if I might be able to be available to speak at her organization, a large, large bank. Another asked if it would be possible to maybe do some webinars for her organization. So it was a beautiful opportunity for me to practice what I preach, to practice being flexible, to practice with going with the flow, to realize how important it is for me to have my own microphone system, for me to also know how to handle the, do I eat before, do I eat after? I figured that one out and asked for my lunch to be boxed up so I wouldn't have to worry about it getting cold, and having to go and sit down and try to eat it. And that worked out beautifully. And the only thing that I did not do, and I realized this because I didn't want to come across, I was told I wasn't allowed to sell during my time. And I didn't truly introduce me, why it is I do this work, why it's so important, and who I work with, which was the opportunity I had. I could have woven that in, and I didn't. And a part of me is wondering if it was because I didn't feel comfortable getting into that section of the sales part, even though it's not selling, by telling them who I work with, who my ideal clients are, and what my favorite part about why I'm drawn to this work. That would have been a beautiful introduction. So I realize that in that case, I was feeling less than authentic, that if I truly asked for that extra couple of seconds to do that part of my introduction, I was afraid of time. And here I let their agenda take the precedent over my desire. And I wonder how often we do that, and we aren't even aware of it. So this authenticity piece is fascinating, and thank you, Brené Brown, for bringing it up and allowing us to really have a conversation about what it means to be authentic. And even in her words, she says, what is authenticity? We may not know how to define it, but we certainly know it when we see it. In fact, when we are in the presence of an authentic person, many of us can even feel it in our bones. We gravitate toward people whom we perceive as honest, real, and sincere. We love women who radiate warmth and that down-to-earth feeling. We gather around the people who can tell it like it is and laugh at themselves in the process. Authenticity is something we revere in others, and we strive to maintain it in our own lives. We don't feel good about half-truths, disingenuous connection, and fearful silence. We all want to have a clear sense of who we are and what we believe, and to feel confident enough to share that with others. I've always liked the saying, we want to feel comfortable in our own skin. So that was Brené's definition, if you will, or description of what authenticity is. The reason why this is so huge for us as women is we immediately try so hard to be liked, to make that connection, to show that we're credible, to take on an additional project, even though it might be too much for us to handle. And we don't ask for the additional money for it. So there's all these things that we do that are really out of authenticity. And then we complain later that, you know, I got all this extra workload, or maybe we haven't gone back to them and said, I need help, because that would show a sign of weakness or something. So what I found interesting is also in this article that I found from Brené, and I have one of her books and some of her teachings on audio, and what I found is that we have a lot of mixed messages and very strange expectations around women in relation to speaking up and speaking out. And if we look at what it means to be authentic, being natural, sincere, spontaneous, open, genuine, we can start to see how difficult it can be, because many of us try filtering our actions and thoughts through these cultural norms, expectations, the way we were brought up, all of these strange filters. So here's what we're trying to live with. No wonder it's very difficult for us, right? The don't make people uncomfortable, but be honest at the same time, right? I mean, that leaves us a very thin line between, if we're honest, then that's going to make the person uncomfortable, and then how do we do that? I mean, sometimes that's just the way it is. Here's a couple more. Don't sound self-righteous, but sound confident. And I know women that struggle with that, because if they're afraid they come across too confident, then they will be considered as arrogant, or again, it goes against our grain of being taught to be quiet and I don't know. I mean, it's more like stop shining so brightly. You know, I don't know where we were taught that we need to let the guys do that. That's backwards now, especially if that's where we want to go in creating a bigger impact and change in the world. I love this one. Don't be offensive, but be straightforward. Say what's on your mind. Ooh, but don't you upset anybody. You're, you know, sounding credible and informed and educated is what we want to do, but not like an arrogant know-it-all, right? There's, how do we come across as not too passionate, but not dispassionate, like we don't care, or apathetic, you know? So we've put ourselves into these totally narrow or impossible expectations, and it's even more difficult when we are nervous, scared, feeling intimidated in an uncomfortable situation, which more and more and more we're all experiencing more and more chaos and new experiences right and left, because that's, our world is getting faster and there's all kinds of new things being thrown at us, even if it's just new technology to learn. And how do we keep true to ourselves so that we can then be authentic and in integrity in our conversations with others, in our relationships with others? So I think it goes back, my belief system is by going back and going in and making sure that we are filled up with ourselves first. getting very comfortable with what it feels like to be in our space, our own bodies, so that we can listen to our intuition, and we don't need the new client. We don't need this handsome gentleman to like us. We don't need that extra money that could come from that sale that we're on the cusp of asking for. You know, when we come from that place, we're automatically jumping out beyond this moment. What if we came from a place where we were full of ourselves, knowing who we are, open-hearted, and in the present moment, breathing into our power center in our lower half of our body, and truly in the moment so much that we were connecting with the other person? This is where magic happens. This is where connections are going to happen. This is where sales might happen. This is where, romance happens. And it all comes from us being totally filled up with ourselves, open-hearted, and in our bodies. Not who we will be 5 minutes from now, not anticipating what to say based on the person's, what they're telling us right now, because then we're not really listening to them. And how often do we do that? And then we wonder and we are so curious why we turn people off. This has been a very difficult lesson for me because I tend to be one of those people who projects. I'm about, at any given moment, 2 or 3 days ahead of myself. You know, I've already got plans all the way through the weekend. Some people would say, I don't even know what I'm doing on Saturday. I do. And, you know, my calendar's full. I've got activities on there. I've got, you know, all kinds of things that I'm projecting where I want to be and where I what I want to be doing. And the danger in that, it's brilliant for strategic and visionary people, but it is not so cool with allowing me to be in this moment where the inspiration flows, where creativity is just waiting for me to turn it on and tap it, where in this moment I can regenerate and refill my energy so that I can do what I want to do in the next 4 or 5 hours. And what I've had to learn is that some people weren't able to be with my energy. And it was difficult for them to be totally themselves and relaxed because they felt like I was not in my whole self and relaxed in being me. So that immediately put them on in a feeling of not being safe to open up to me. And I know I can do that. And I don't do it with everybody. I only do it with the people that I most desperately want to connect with. Why? The boss that I most wanted to see how brilliant I was, and I finally got an opportunity to work with her on her team, and I totally screwed up. Right and left, I let my perfectionism keep me from meeting the deadline. I tried to redo a whole thing versus just doing the part that they asked me to do. I wanted to shine so brightly that I totally screwed up. I did the same thing with my husband. He would always be hypercritical of me. So initially, I was always so worried about making dinner, I would burn it or screw it up or leave out an ingredient, a critical one, and the meal was always off just because I wanted so badly for it to be good. These are in the early days. I'm actually a really good cook now. But what happens when we're nervous, have you ever noticed how there's certain people that you can just be amazing around? They bring out the best in you. We can relax. We can be ourselves. think of how lovely that space is. And then the people that are intimidating us, or we feel are maybe authority figures we want to impress, it's like we try not to show them anything bad about us, and it just falls out of our mouth, or we you know, spill things on them. I mean, all these crazy things happen. And I'm curious if we could just be our full self and come forward to any person we're interacting with, if that wouldn't make life so much simpler and safer and we wouldn't have to play act and try to be somebody that we're not, which then again creates trust and connection when we're truly being who we are. And I'm wanting to start breaking some of these weird rules. The ones about how can we clarify or correct or stand up or ask for what we believe is our value in a way where we're not viewed as the arrogant know-it-all that no one can be around. Where we're not viewed as one of those stubborn women that are difficult to get along with. We want to be feeling that we can be so honest about something that might feel uncomfortable for other people. And we're not labeled as weirdo or freak or, oh, she's one of those. I get woo-woo a lot because I think I do bring in some spiritual things, which is, in some communities and some circles, it's considered strange. You know, they wanted you to stay in your total professional speak all the time. It's interesting to me that when women do speak up in these ways, that it's considered a heated debate or a cat fight or that we're being bitchy or something like that. Whereas if two men were to be in the same discussion or debate, it's lively. It's interesting. It makes for good TV watching, right? We like to see men in a debate in that way. So what happens is we tend to bring shame around, if I'm too authentic and they see who I really am, oh, that's not a good idea. And then we hide from it, which makes it even harder. It creates a weaker muscle, almost a bypass in our system of, if I do that, that's scary and people won't like me. What would it be like if people, we didn't care if people liked us? Control that anyway. So why do we try? So those are my takes on what it means to be authentic. Borrowing from Brené Brown's work, definitely. And also from my experience of what I see women doing when they try to speak up, when they try to come across as confident, when they dress a certain way to get certain attention, and they don't dress a certain way to avoid attention. And where is the honoring of who we really are in all of this? What would it be like if you could dress in beautiful, bright colors and go to work with all of those people in their suits in the financial world? What would it be like if you could, you know, I don't even know if this is allowed anymore, but back in the days when I was recruiting, you know, we couldn't have anybody who had nose piercings or any of that. They couldn't work at the banks. I don't know if that's changed. If you walked in with purple hair, if they would hire you, I don't know. Yet, from my experience, I don't ever see anybody at a bank that doesn't wear the blazer and the tie and have their hair Actually, that's one of the funny things today too, is I didn't even have my hair in my normal hairstyle. It's in need of a cut, and so it's a little bit straighter than normal. And there's no humidity here right now in St. Louis, and this dry air has created a relatively straighter cut. So today I pretty much straightened it with a curling iron, and one of the women there who is an executive presence coach, not in the same kind of feminine coach presence that I am, but works with women and men on dressing for success. She and I had met one other time when my hair was all wild and I had on some long flouncy skirt, and she told me I was a little bit wild, and but that was my personality, and but I could tell she wasn't approving. So today she actually said to me, "I like your hair." I said, "Oh, it's so straight," and I had to, you know, and she says, "No, it's very professional looking like that." And she said to somebody else, "Actually, normally her hair is like wild, like a crazy person's." And so I thought, oh, well, next time I see her, I'm going to wear my hair natural. I hope it's humid outside here in St. Louis when I get to meet her next. So it was just fascinating to me about how the expectations of what your hair, what your clothing, what your dress should look like are still alive and well, at least in my community. So I know that I've gotten a little bit long-winded on this whole thing around authenticity, but it is crucial that we find what is real and true for us and that we show up in the most us that we can be. We are yearning to get to know people on that level. And I know that as I continue to dive deeper into who I am and what I'm bringing to the world, every time I do my own inner work, it allows others to come up to me afterwards and say, "I am so comfortable around you. I really enjoy who you are and what you're all about." I had somebody say, "It's even easier to be around you now because of your own recent work on your self-awareness." And I'm glad, and I'm going to keep working. And I hope you do too. So until our next time together, take excellent care of you. We need you to shine your unique light and help us create a new world where we all can be authentic and true and real. Take good care. Bye-bye.